Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. One of the fathers tells us that the cross has been placed at the midpoint of Great and Holy Lent, or between Great and Holy Lent and the Lord's Passion, because as with any kind of journey or marathon race, as you'll begin with a lot of vigor, a lot of energy, a lot of dynamism. And usually when you get toward the end of the race or toward the end of the journey, and you know, you can see the end in sight, it kind of gives you a new vigor, impels you to keep going forward. But when you get in the middle, you kind of lose sight and you get tired and begin to experience fatigue and maybe a little despondency. And so today, the church sets boldly before our presence the cross, because the cross is the sign of victory. Now, during the Great and Holy Week, the cross will reemerge. However, at that moment, it's the sign of ultimate tragedy, the sign of God's total self-surrender, where he experiences our death, including all the horror that's associated with death. The cross, therefore, is both a sign of victory and a sign of death. And seeing the cross, you and I should be able to say with confidence these words, maybe a prayer, quote, "O God, if you have entrusted to us divine life, then I can with confidence take up my cross and follow you. Lord, I can do this, because your cross is a sign of defeat. Your cross is a sign of victory." The first act, however, is always a free choice. We hear in the scriptures God telling us, "I set before you life and death." It's your choice, though. And the first step, our Lord tells us in the gospel, "Whoever wishes to follow me," that's the first choice, to follow the Lord. You and I have that decision to turn our lives toward Jesus the Christ, who is life, or we can turn away and show little concern for his life and his words and what he's done for us. So when the Lord says or speaks of this renunciation, "Whoever wishes to follow me must renounce himself," what does he mean? It means to focus less on how you and I may see this world personally, in a worldly way, in a human way. Renunciation is about thinking less on what I want or what I need in this world. What's in it for me? What's in it for me in this life? What's in it for me when I do this for somebody else? Cecilia, please stop. It's to be less focused on what I possess and what I don't possess. It's not, renunciation is less, being less concerned about my fears and my anxieties. And instead, when we renounce ourselves, we begin to take that step in following Jesus the Christ. What happens? It's living in the continuous presence of God's divine love that He has for you and for every single person you meet and for all of creation. To renounce yourself is now seeing the world as God sees the world. Even in all the midst of the tragedies and the deaths, somehow always seeing how God sees this and the significance of it. Just for example, death. We are bombarded with numbers of people who die. But God doesn't see 100 people or 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people have died. God sees individual people with names and histories and communities that are affected by that death. How do we see all that's happening in this world and its significance? Because to God, everything that happens in the world and every single person has great significance. And to what lengths also, we're renouncing ourselves, to what lengths God goes to save each and every human being. The great fast that we are practicing during this particular season, the great fast, it is an excellent means to help you and me move out of a small-minded thinking. What am I to eat? How much am I to eat? Look at our society. It's consumed with eating. It's small-minded thinking. And all the more, the great fast, if it's being lived out seriously, helps you and me to reorder our passions. What is every act? What is every sin but it's simply an act of disordered love? I didn't fast the way I'm supposed to. The great fast helps you and me begin to focus on what is most important in life and getting rid of all of the trivia and all the non-essentials. After all, what's at the source of greed? What's at the root of fear? What's at the root of every rivalry? What's at the root of every quarrel? What's at the root of every unforgiveness? What's at the root of every act of wasting time? What's at the root of every act of anger or every kind of lust? I did not fast from something in my life. I gave in to a disordered passion. The act of renunciation, then, is the realization of what Paul came to see in his own life. Not in his head, but in his very core. The core of his very being, in his heart. What can I actually call my own? And he says, nothing. Nothing. Paul came to his fundamental realization. Everything I have is a gift, and it's a gift from God. My physical life and my spiritual life. My family, my friends, my work, the very air I breathe, it's all a gift. The world and its beauty is a gift. I've created none of that. I've earned none of that. It's a gift from Almighty God. And when we lose that understanding, when we lose that in our hearts, not in our heads, it's not an idea. When we lose it in the core of our beings, you and I become blind to the world around us and we become blind to our neighbor. When we lose that truth in our core, the core of our beings, we become deaf to the harmony of creation. And we become deaf to the cry of our neighbor. what happens? We begin to live that life of self-centeredness. We cleave then more to this world, what we can see and touch and hold on to. And we end up serving this world, what's in this world, more than God. We choose our family, our friends, our work, ourselves over God. And then we begin to live that lie, and we justify that lie. Let us therefore have the courage to recognize the meaning of the first beatitude. I am poor. I am poor. And everything I have is a gift from Almighty God. And mine is to do one thing, to live continually in this gratitude. When that happens, then you and I will grasp what it means to live in the kingdom. Not tomorrow. Heaven's not tomorrow. Heaven's not in the future. Heaven's not awaiting me when I die. The kingdom of God is today, right now. The kingdom of God is the experience of rightly ordered love relationships. The kingdom of God is rightly ordered love relationships with God, with my neighbor, with myself, and with creation. Then all the foolish thinking and all the foolish imaginations, at least that's what Proverbs calls it, passes away. The false notion, the lie that we hold on to in our modern American society, it's my life. And by my own power, I will get to where I need to be. Such false thinking. And this is why the church stresses so much the importance of her baptized faithful to participate in the liturgy and to be active members within the church, because we go and we carry one another as one body. Our salvation is dependent upon the church. Today, therefore, in the remaining weeks of Great Lent, the cross confronts us, its victory, and it challenges you and me to renounce that self-centered existence and the acts of disordered self-love. And instead, make the free choice for God. It truly is enough to be with Him. Such is the reason why the church, during Great Lent especially, greatly, greatly, greatly exhorts her faithful to attend the Lenten services. Each time we come, we are making an act of faith that God, you alone suffice. Each time you come to the services in the church, these Lenten services, you're coming to the sacred temple. And you're saying no to something of the world and to something of its attractions in order to walk with God in His garden, because that's what the church is. This is God's garden. That's why you see vegetation in a church building. It's reminding us that we're coming back now to the Garden of Eden. Every time you come to divine service, you are saying, God's, you are showing by your actions, God's friendship is more important than anything and anyone on earth. It makes real the words of the psalmist, quote, my heart burns within me. So David said to God. And one and the other's great quote, he said, quote, one day within your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Christ is among us.